From APM in New York, I'm Ben Johnson, and this is Marketplace Tech. No matter what your political colors, red, blue, green, purple, there have been a lot of protests recently. At town hall meetings for elected officials, at the White House, people took to the streets earlier this year to protest the election of President Donald Trump. Here's a group after the Women's March in Washington, D.C. in a metro station.
Call me brother when you need a hand. We all need somebody.
One thing that is true of almost every protest in real life is that you spend a fair amount of time out in the world sitting, standing, waiting, essentially downtime. A new website called protestgames.org aims to translate that downtime into positive energy. Some of the games ask you to use your phone. Many don't. Here to talk about it all is Ian Bogos, game critic and professor at Georgia Tech. Ian, thanks for talking with us about protestgames.org.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure.
So it's not really like a video game site or a game site. These are like real live action games, as it were.
Yeah, that's right. They're not games that you play with your even with your smartphone or your just let alone your computer. They're games that you play in the physical world or in your head or with props or materials with your friends. But they're drawing on some of the traditions in play and in game design, some of which overlap with computer games and video games, and some of which have more of a relationship with experimental theater and protest art and so forth.
Does this website have room and these games have room for people on the other side, people who might be interested in protesting in support of a more conservative cause?
Yeah, I think there's nothing that's intrinsically progressive about them or left-wing, but a lot of them are just kind of about tolerating that moment-to-moment experience. We have an example like, invent an internal monologue for a cop that you see and then have your friends guess which one it is. And so, the designs are really just playing with the materials that are at hand on these protest sites, which include people and buildings and cameras and equipment. And there's nothing intrinsic to that activity that has to take on a particular political alignment.
So is there a business part of this somehow?
Well, many years ago, before we had smartphones and before we had all of these tools to kind of organize people and equipment in public spaces, there was a trend that arose. It was called pervasive games. In a lot of cases, those were essentially marketing campaigns that big companies would sponsor. A bit like flash mobs, you create a big spectacle and that
Sure.
acts as an effective marketing message. And so there's a real relationship between any kind of public performance, anything that happens in public and has a kind of spectatorship. That's something that businesses have flocked to in the past.
Ian Bogos, he's a professor at Georgia Tech who writes about gaming, video gaming, and otherwise. Ian, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Alphabet and its subsidiaries have been pretty involved with the ride-hailing company Uber. Alphabet's investment arm has invested in Uber. You can access Uber from the Google Maps app, which is why a new lawsuit where Alphabet's self-driving car division Waymo is accusing Uber of having intellectual property stolen from Alphabet is a big deal. The accusation here is that a guy named Anthony Lewandowski downloaded 14,000 files and designs for a circuit board used in self-driving car technology before leaving Google, forming a new startup called Otto, which was then purchased by Uber. It's Silicon Valley time. Our guest today is Laura Weidman-Powers. She's the co-founder and CEO of Code 2040, which is an economic access nonprofit organization. She also just finished up in the White House, where she was senior policy advisor to the former U.S. CTO. Laura, are you ready to play the game where we try to stump each other with numbers from the week's tech news?
I think I am ready.
You're so ready.
I'm ready.
All right. Two docking attempts.
That is the number of attempts it took for the SpaceX craft to dock successfully with the International Space Station.
Well played. It tried on Sunday, and then it tried again Thursday, and that seems to have gone off without a hitch, or maybe, I guess, technically with a hitch. It was carrying 5,500 pounds of supplies. How much of that do you think was astronaut ice cream?
I hope a large percent.
As would I. All right, what do you got for me?
15.1%.
It's going to make me sad to say this, but this has to be like the percentage of female coders at Uber or something.
Yeah, that is exactly right. After the blog this weekend talking about what it was like to be a female engineer at Uber.
Not great. Not great, turns out.
It didn't sound great. And Uber CEO came out and said they would release their diversity data, and they'd start out by saying what percent of their tech workforce was female, and it was 15.1%.
What do you think? How long is Travis Kalanick for this world as a CEO?
Well, Silicon Valley loves founder CEOs. So
it sure does.
The question is, can he turn it around? Because if they're not able to actually attract and retain diverse talent, I don't think they're long for this world as a company.
$5 billion
is the amount that Facebook will spend in order to take over the internet in its entirety.
You are ice cold.
Darn.
This is the final price tag of Apple's new spaceship-looking campus.
Oh,
it'll open this spring. The Silicon Valley tech giant said it would take over 6 months to move more than 12,000 workers to the new campus. It has the really, really cool name Apple Park. Psych, that's not a cool name. They couldn't have come up with something better than that. I don't know.
It's pretty generic, but they do have a pond in the middle, so I guess it is a real park.
Oh, yeah. Apparently, technically, it has an orchard as well, so, you know. Laura Weidman-Powers is the co-founder and CEO of the organization Code 2040. Laura, thanks a lot for playing tally with me.
Thanks for having me.
I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.